Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back again for episode 5 of the Tomahawk Show. I am Andrew Hawkins, joined as always by my guest, Joe Thomas, the GOAT.
I'll be happy to be your guest any day, Andrew. Or I'll be your co-host.
Co-host, guest, you're always my guest anytime I'm in.
This is the house that Andrew Hawkins built. Welcome.
All day and tomorrow. Of course, we have NFD. No face having Dan. He doesn't have a face. No personality. No last name. No bio.
Or AFD, if you prefer.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets called AFD when he doesn't do what we tell him to do.
And what's the A stand for? Anonymous, right?
Anonymous Face Dan, yes. Yes, that's what it is, son.
Till you make Joe mad, and then we change it up. Listen, subscribe on Apple, iTunes, podcast, 5 stars. Leave a rating. Leave a review how great we are. This is a podcast that was born by me and Joe, who were teammates 3 years in Cleveland. We would have these incredible conversations in the locker room. Dan would usually be there, kind of refereeing them, joking. But regardless, this is how the podcast was born. It's been awesome. It's taken off. It's the number one podcast in U.S., and it's trending in Ireland, which is really big for us as a unit. So hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Tomahawk. What else we got?
Yeah, Andrew, big milestone for the Tomahawk Show this week.
Yeah.
We passed the Great Road Tripping Podcast for a number of 5-star reviews. So little hands together for those folks out there that did the rating. Thank you.
Road Tripping is like our brother podcast. So we're both.
I got a little brother.
Little brother.
Little brother.
Are we the big brother now?
We're the big brother now. Now that we've stomped on top of them.
We've come of age.
We've stood on their shoulders, and we've come of age. That's right.
It's going to be hard to get retweets from them.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. We might have to go on their show to suck up to the fans a little bit more. Hey, quick PSA before we get started. Right after this episode, Tomahawk is hitting the road for video and audio content Thursday and Friday at Radio Row, Mall of America, site of the Super Bowl this year between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Video interviews with NFL stars as they happen. It's going to be available on Uninterrupted's YouTube channel and social media pages. Audio podcasts, including the best interviews, will be released at the end of the day, Thursday and Friday. And then for today's show, since Radio Row content will be sort of guest-driven, this episode is the official hashtag Tomahawk Super Bowl preview special. The show is sort of broken into 4 segments. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the big news out of Kansas City and Washington, and that is the Alex Smith trade to Washington.
Yes. How about that?
That was a shocker, since really the deal can't be official until the new league year begins in a little over a month. So it's crazy to have a deal in principle without any deadline that's really close on the horizon.
I mean, it was like so fresh that the players involved in the trade didn't even know until it was reported on Twitter.
Well, that was my favorite part, really, about this trade so far is that, you know, okay, Alex Smith gets traded for a 3rd-round pick. Okay, we get it. We knew Alex Smith was probably going to get traded this offseason.
Right.
Washington wasn't the most likely destination.
Right.
I think everyone was surprised, but it said a player to be named at a later date. And so there was a lot of speculation. Your guy, Field Yates, came out and said Kendall Fuller, the great cornerback from the Washington Redskins,
played really well,
was
too.
That player. Really playing at the top of his game. And Kendall comes out on Twitter to put those rumors to bed and say, nope, it's not me. You guys got the wrong guy. I am definitely still in Washington. Only to find out a little bit later that he actually was the guy that got traded. So I'm saying it's time to get a new agent, Kendall.
Yes, it's time to get a new agent. It's good that you got a new team, because they didn't think very highly of you to tell you, hey, you're on the trading block.
Yeah, it would be nice to maybe give them a heads up next time. That, hey, man, dude, you've been traded.
That let a lot of the wind out of a lot of Browns fans when they seen that Alex Smith was going to the Washington Redskins. I think that was like the overall feeling here that people thought we had a chance at Alex Smith in Cleveland.
Yeah, John Dorsey, the new general manager for the Browns, comes here from Kansas City via unemployment, let's say.
Yeah.
Since he got let go or stepped down in Kansas City last year. And I think that was a natural connection for everybody. I think it's pretty well known that Dorsey is a guy that doesn't want to play with a rookie quarterback. He thought really highly of Alex Smith. And I think everyone sort of expected that sort of naturally to happen, because there wasn't any obvious trade destinations for Alex Smith outside of the Browns. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in a time that nobody expects, we wake up and he gets traded to the Redskins. So now Browns fans are panicking.
Does that make the Browns one of the losers of this trade?
No, and here's why. Why? Because my Nostradamus prediction is coming true.
Yeah.
This just puts the Browns one step closer to signing Kirk Cousins.
I thought you were going to say Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees. To signing Tom Brady, actually. No, I think this makes it easy because now the Redskins will not franchise him, and it'll become a bidding war. There's, I think, five or six teams that it looks like probably are going to bid for Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
The Browns currently have over $118 million in cap space, so clearly they have the most money.
Yes.
I think they also have the most desire to turn things around quickly with a veteran quarterback that has experience in the NFL like Kirk Cousins. And so even though the Browns will probably be bidding against the Jets, the Broncos, maybe the Jaguars, the Bills, and the Cardinals, I really think they're definitely, in my opinion, the front runners to get Kirk Cousins. And I know Browns fans were panicking here in the last couple of days going, well, you know, Alex Smith said that he wants to go to a winner, and so did Kirk Cousins, and so they're definitely not going to go to the Browns now. And as Andrew Hawkins has told us many times on the show, it's about the money in free agency, people.
It's all about the green.
Don't listen to what these clowns are saying in the media, saying, oh, I want to win a championship. That's more important. Dude, if that was the most important thing for you, you already would have re-signed somewhere else.
Look,
the reason you're going to free agency is because you're trying to get paid the most money.
Simple as that, man. Money talks. Everything has a price. Everything in this world has a price. And that's just my philosophy.
Was it Dwight Eisenhower? No, wasn't it? Maybe Roosevelt that said this. It was Churchill. Winston Churchill said, I know what
really
you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you are, but we just got to find out what the price is. So
there
basically,
is.
There's everything in this world has a price.
Everything has a price.
So it just matters.
Do you think the Chiefs?
What it is.
Were kind of like. Because I would imagine the Browns wanted a stab at Alex Smith. I mean,
I think they probably threw their hat in there and said, hey, we'll give you this guy.
Yeah, we'd have a second round pick for sure to give. I don't know if they were looking for corner help. I don't know if we have anybody on the roster that is like at the level that Kendall Fuller played at and kind of brings to the trade value.
Yeah.
But do you think there was any like the Chiefs are like, oh, we're not trading to you, John. We know you.
We have
history.
I guarantee that the history they had. I don't really know the details of the fallout, why they got rid of John Dorsey, because he did a great job in Kansas City. I mean, he put together an amazing roster.
I would think so.
Like, the guy is a great football mind. So there's no reason to get rid of him. So there's clearly some bitterness there. There had to be something that was going on behind the scenes. But for me, it made more sense for the Chiefs to trade Alex Smith to the Redskins because – they can get a player that they really respect and a third round pick. And for the Browns, for us, we're thinking we have that chance to get the quarterback either in the draft or we can pay for him, right?
Right.
Whereas the Redskins, they don't pick as high as the Browns do, so they'd have to trade up to get one of those quarterbacks in the draft.
True.
So they don't have that ammunition, and I don't think they were going to re-sign Kirk. They didn't want to franchise him.
All right, can I give you my hawk take now?
Let's hear the hawk take, because that's what we all tune in here for.
Obviously.
Nobody wants the NFD or the JT take.
The Redskins are stupid. That's number one. Now, besides the fact that the name is stupid, but also, you just traded for the older version of Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you just traded for Kirk Cousins 6 years from now. Like, for what? And this was literally just a pride thing, because
that's exactly
Kirk Cousins
right.
has you by the balls, and he has for years. And everyone's like, oh, man, Alex Smith got $71 million guaranteed. You know who else would have got $71 million guaranteed? If he was franchise tag this year? Let me take you through the numbers. Kirk Cousins' franchise tag in 2016, $19 million. $19.9 million. His franchise tag this year, $23.9 million. His franchise tag number next year would have been $34.2 million, which means over a three-year period of guaranteed money, he would have made $74-something million, which he could have made a lot less had you just signed him to a contract 3 years ago. So at this point, it was like, man, we can't franchise this guy again, because now we look like idiots for not just giving the guy a deal 3 years ago. So let's just trade, give some stuff away so we could preserve our pride and our resume by trading for an older version of the guy that we already have in the building.
Mm-hmm. So the Redskins sat down at the poker table with Kirk Cousins. They lost the hand,
man.
But they didn't want to admit it.
Exactly.
Because
they flipped the table.
Over 4 years, which is what the Alex Smith deal is reported to be, $71 million or so is guaranteed. That's like $23.5 million, $24 million per season. $94 million, something like that, for the life of the contract. You easily could have had Kirk for that length of time.
You could have had him for pennies.
Maybe probably even less.
Way
less. But it became a pissing contest, and they lost. And then now they're trying to save face, save pride. They have to give up a third-round pick and a great cornerback. So, Redskins, you clearly lost.
You are losers.
On this deal. You are definitely a loser. Now, Browns fans, they were really concerned, like we mentioned, that they could be the losers in this deal. But like I said, I think they're definitely the favorites to land Kirk. But what's going on in Buffalo? I don't know. They're the team that people are saying, oh, they need a quarterback. But Tyrod Taylor leads that team to the playoffs for the first time in, what, 20 years? Why don't people love Tyrod Taylor?
I don't know,
what's
man.
Going on with him?
I don't know. I like Tyrod. I've always thought he was good.
Yeah, I mean, every time I watch him, not that I know anything about quarterbacks because I'm an idiot when it comes to looking at quarterback play. But
people want what they don't have,
the
man.
The dude makes plays with his feet. He can make plays outside of the pocket. He makes plays in the pocket.
It was like Hoyer here in 2014.
Yeah.
People will say now, oh, we should have yada yada. When Hoyer was here, they were not loving Hoyer like that.
No. Johnny.
Every game, bro. And like I said, Johnny's my boy. Brian's my boy.
Yeah, we love Johnny. We love Brian.
But the fact of the matter is Brian was 7-4. No, he wasn't a sexy quarterback. And no, he did. But he had done a
nothing
lot
against
better.
His looks. Because I think you're very sexy, Brian Hoyer. I know you're listening, probably laying in your hotel room, thinking about Tom Brady getting a finger injury, going down in the Super Bowl. You can come in the fourth quarter and be the hero.
Could you imagine B. Hoyer winning the Super Bowl for this?
How about that? Would the Browns fans officially give up on themselves as football fans?
If Brian Hoyer
goes in and leads him to a comeback,
there might be some
in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
There might be some suicide.
Oh, man.
I hope it happens, to be honest. Oh. Good. My son's favorite quarterback, his favorite two quarterbacks are Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer.
Still to this day.
To this day, his two favorite quarterbacks.
We got to bring him on here and see what he thinks about the line play. What does he think about the left tackle? Is that the guy that's been holding the Browns back all these years?
Yeah, we got to get him out of there. He's too old, Dad.
Austin's like a big Madden guy, and he plays with the Browns, but he quickly trades their left tackle right away for future draft picks. Dad, this left tackle's really holding me back.
Do you remember JG did that? One time?
Wait, what?
All right, so I can't remember the exact story, but this is like long ago. I don't know if Gordon and Hoyer might have got into it at some point about something like a practice. But anyway, we were sitting in the lobby. They were playing Madden. Gordon was playing Madden. Hoyer comes to sit down like in between a meeting. They must have been still like, you know, going at it. JG looks over at Hoyer, pauses the game, takes Hoyer out and puts Johnny in. It was so funny. Oh my God, man.
That is outstanding.
That's how I knew stuff was getting real.
Was that the beginning of the end? That's when he got benched. Do you think Hoyer went to Patton and then had like the Bill Belichick Brady confrontation? Like, it's either me or him. He traded me on Madden. He tried to bench me on Madden.
Those are fighting words, man. Yeah, you bench me on Madden. Yeah. It's going down.
Hey, man, let's go back to Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. Does he continue his career in Buffalo, or does he end up elsewhere next year?
I think he ends up elsewhere. I mean, I just think this offseason is going to be a crazy quarterback market, and I think there's just way too many teams that want him.
Yeah.
To, like, if I was him, I wouldn't want to be in Buffalo.
No, they've treated you so bad.
Get out of there. Go to one of these teams and help him.
I'm giving the rookie gold medal coach doofus award of the year to when Buffalo's head coach benched Tyrod Taylor in honor of Peterman, right? That was his name.
Congrats, Coach.
The
McDermott.
Backup quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So when I heard that was going to happen, I've been through that a million times in my career where they benched the starter who's
they were 6-4
doing a good job for you for the guy that's clearly not ready because he's been tearing up the scout team, man. You should see him what he's doing against the scouts. Sorry, Coach McDermott, but that was a really bad move. And I think the thing I'll give him a lot of credit for is he realized his mistake. He was able to swallow his pride.
Did he swallow
his pride? He swallowed his pride 8 interceptions later.
Yeah, is that swallowing your pride?
Put Tyrod back in the game.
Did Coach he have McDermott, another choice?
I don't think he had a choice.
Hey, man, I've seen it when they ride with that guy for a while because coaches can be prideful. They can have an ego about those things.
But that was like
oh, he's going to get better.
Like, if he only threw two picks, he wouldn't have benched him. If he only threw, let's say he threw three in that game.
You're right.
He would have still been the quarterback.
But he threw 8.
But he threw.
Let's live in the now.
8.25.
Deal with the facts only.
He had no choice, man. He was like, and Tyrod Taylor was probably loving it too because.
Can you imagine how much he was cheering against Peterman on the bench?
Like
he was probably deflating his footballs, like beyond the level that he wanted them to be deflated to.
That was the dumbest coaching move of 2017.
That was the rookie gold medal head coach of the year award right there.
I was singing his praises too. Up until then, until he made that decision.
I think he's been making all the right choices. But there's so much pressure when you're a head coach, especially a rookie head coach who's never been in that situation, mm-hmm. meeting with the media every day, talking directly to the fans, hearing that pressure. And as you know, unless you're Tom Brady as a quarterback, everybody in the city wants the backup quarterback out there.
That is ridiculous. They were 6-4. I think that had to come from ownership. Honestly, this is what I think happened.
All right, I have a theory.
I think they don't feel great about Tyrod Taylor, right? They had already made him take a pay cut going into the season.
Yeah, I thought that was bogus,
which was bogus in general.
Maybe I'm just like a closet Tyrod Taylor fan for some reason. I don't know why, but I really like him.
Because it's like they were throwing him under the bus. And he's not Tom Brady, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's doing well for your team, and he's doing better than a lot of quarterbacks have done since they've been there. So they made him take a pay cut. They're 6-4, and it was at that point in the season, they probably didn't expect to be 6-4. And it was like, yo, if we don't make a move now, we're not going to be able to make a move. Like, just put somebody in there, because if he does too well, we're going to have to pay him again. Mm-hmm. And we already are trying to get out of our last contract with the guy. So I think the head coach thinking, oh, man, we love what you're doing. He's getting so many pats on the back. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to do what ownership tells me to do and mm-hmm. probably go against what I think is the better mm-hmm. football decision. And I'm going to play Nathan Peterman. Not only that, I'm going to stand up there at the podium and say, this was my sole decision, so you can take it up with me. Well, then Peterman comes in and gives the worst quarterback performance in the history of pigskin, and then now you have egg on your face, and now, yes, you're the doofus of 2017.
Yeah. Yes, another terrible coaching decision is allowing the front office, people upstairs, to dictate and influence too much over who plays on Sundays. That should be coach's decision and coach's decision only.
I agree. Now, earlier Joe said this was the official Super Bowl Tomahawk preview show.
Yes.
And we have not mentioned the Super Bowl once yet so far.
We had some hot takes, though.
Hot take.
Let's get to the Super Bowl, Dan.
Now,
I'm with you.
Now, we're leaving. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to be on Radio
Row.
Doing
it today. We're getting out of here today.
Yep.
And you guys have been before, not in the game, but you've been there before for the festivities.
Thanks for clarifying.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure all the fans are really concerned. Oh, wait. Wait, they played in the Super Bowl? What was that?
Appreciate it.
Both those fans. I mean, both the fans.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any good stories from any Super Bowl festivities?
I do. I got a couple of
stories. Go ahead. Why don't you lead us off?
All right. So one time I was, this is early on, so this is before I got to the league. One of my roommates, Lance Moore, who played with the Saints and Drew Brees, they were in the Super Bowl.
The great Lance Moore. The Toledo guy, right?
Toledo guy. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a couple
of
those.
Too many of you guys.
I know, we're just all over
the
league.
We got to get him on the podcast. All Toledo show.
Film in
the glass bowl.
Now you're speaking my language, Joe.
Get John Greco.
Now, get the Greco. Oh, man. We're cooking with gas.
Have Greg Kowski's family come over and make us a huge Sunday supper. I actually, quick story before I cut you off here.
Or
as to interrupt your story.
This is not a Super Bowl story, but Bruce Gradkowski started one game for the Browns when I was like at year 4 or 5. And it was in Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh guy, Pittsburgh to his core. Yeah. Like everything about him is just
all this and that.
Stereotypical.
We're gonna head downtown.
Pittsburgh. And so he had the offensive line over to his house for like Saturday night meal or whatever. And this family is so Pittsburgh and old school Italian that literally the women made all the food while the men were like outside BSing and drinking beer. The men came and sat down and the women all served the men dinner. Then the men got up and left and went back outside and were like drinking beer and throwing the football. And the women like sat down, ate, cleaned up, and left. And we never saw them.
The Gradkowski family.
Dude, it was a crazy experience. But the nicest family. I mean, they got like 10,000 people.
They do that every time. That was Bruce's way of pleading with you. That was him and his family's way of pleading with you guys to please protect me tomorrow.
Protect his poor soul against the Steelers.
I don't think it worked. I think he got
it. It didn't work. We lost. I'm going to say 30-0. So we didn't exactly have the prolific offensive output that fans had come to know and love the Browns for. But it was fun. But anyways, yeah, Bruce, great guy. Go ahead with the Super Bowl story.
back to Lance.
Back to something important.
Back to our other roommate. I actually lived with Bruce in college. But roommate, Lance, we were, you know, he was playing the Super Bowl. They invited us down. I think this is after like my first year in Canada. It was in Miami. So I'm like, man, this is going to be awesome. They end up winning the Super Bowl, and Lance has like a huge catch in it, like a 2-point conversion. They're playing against Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah.
So the Saints end up winning the Super Bowl, and it was wild. And he's like, yo, we're going to party tonight. And I'm like, yes, this is going to be incredible. Never experienced anything like this. You know, I get dressed to the nines. I go meet them at their hotel. They got limos taking us all over the place. Mm. It's like a bunch of Saints players. you know, we're like, oh, we're going to do this first, do that. We pull up to Club Live, which is at the
Fountain Blue. Which is like the hottest that's place like the, in that's South like, Beach.
I had only ever
I even, got rejected from there once. I know what it's all about.
Okay, so you know where I'm going. So I'd only ever even heard of the place in rap songs, right?
Yeah.
So we pull up to Club Live. TMZ, like, as soon as we step out of the limo, they start swarming us, asking questions like, oh, the Saints Super Bowls are here. You know, so there's like a crowd of people were walking up. We get to the front, and the guy is like, yo, Lance, great catch, the bouncer. So I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, we're golden.
We're rock stars man. This is about to be crazy. So he's like, yeah, well, you know, great catch. Lance's like, oh, I appreciate it, man. He's like, yeah, well, you know, what's up? He's like, oh, we need a couple tables. He's like, ah, sorry, we're at capacity. And they're like, ha ha, good one, bro. You almost had a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's like, nah, seriously. P. Diddy bought up all the VIP tables.
Oh, no.
And we're at capacity in general admission, too. So he's like, are you serious? He's like, no, I'm dead serious. P. Diddy comes walking by with like 1,000 people, tips his hat like, yeah, that was a good game tonight, y'all.
And just kept going.
Right. We end up going like
Mr. Diddy.
We stopped like a techno club. We end up at like some hole in the wall bar. We're all just like looking at each other. And I'm like, this is not how I expected to party with the Super Bowl champ. So it was
that
day. You
guys end up like the dive bar, like drinking Bud Lights.
Right. It was that day I realized that being a Super Bowl champ was overrated.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was in Miami, South Beach for the Pro Bowl. This was like, oh, God, I don't know, my third or fourth year. They decided Hawaii was too nice for the players. So we gotta bring the Pro Bowl back to the mainland. So they put us up in Miami, which was cool. So I had a bunch of my high school buddies come down. There was like five dudes, right? And like,
that's where you went wrong.
Yeah. So these are five dudes from Wisconsin. We don't know anything about the club scene anywhere
pleated khakis.
Yeah. We're wearing like cargo shorts and flip flops and like a polo from like issue polo from Wisconsin's like Capital One Bowl, like 2009 Capital One Bowl champs polo.
Typical Club Live.
Yes. Typical Club Live garb. And so we pull up. We're like, oh, this Club Live, I hear this place is pretty cool. Let's go there. So we pull up. And it was my first experience where there wasn't a line to get in. There was just like two giant bouncers in all black and like this huge roped off area that was like a square. And everybody lines up along the rope. Not in a line, but like parallel to the rope, just like all around it, like as if you're waiting against the fence for an autograph, right? But then the bouncers just kind of go around and they select people to come in, right? Yep. And if you're a dude, you got to have stacks in your hand.
Stacks,
and if you're a girl, like you got to be really good looking, right? Yeah, it's got to be the dude with like 10 stacks and like four chicks, or you ain't getting in.
You're not getting in.
So me and my buddies wait there for like 10 minutes and we're like, wow, I don't think we're going to get in here. Like, this doesn't seem like it's our thing right now. I don't think we fit in. And so I like talk to the bouncer and I'm like, you know, hey, my name's Joe Thomas from the Browns. I'm not usually a name drop guy, but I realized
you gotta pull it
I
out.
Was not getting in at all. So I'm like, hey, is there any way you think we could like try to get in the club? He's like, yeah, how much are you going to pay me? And I'm like, nothing. I don't know. I'm in the Pro Bowl.
Wrong
he's
answer.
Like, he's like, I'm sorry. Just wait right here. We'll see what we can do. We waited for like 30 minutes. He never even looked back in our direction. And then we ended up at like some Latin club somewhere else. Let us in. Let five white dudes with cargo shorts and issue polos.
How much you going to pay me? Nothing.
Yeah.
He's like, he's okay, like, I'll be right back.
He actually was really nice about it. Like instead of just totally shooting down my ego, he was like, just wait right here. I'll see what I can do. We'll let you like pretend that you're sniffing the club from the outside.
I'll Google you real quick to see who you are.
Yeah, let me Google you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have enough money. You can't make it in here.
That's funny. Another Super Bowl party story. I was going to, I forget where, it was in Dallas. Dallas was super cold, too. So we were in Dallas.
Oh, I was there. They had like an ice storm and they freaked out.
Yeah, and it was like zero. It was like 0.2. inches of snow and the
entire like nothing,
city shut down.
A little dust.
They couldn't figure it out. But anyway, so we were like at a party one time. It's like an after party or at a club. I was there with a couple of buddies that I went to Toledo with that also were in the NFL. And I think this is like my first year going in. And so it was like one of those situations where everybody was just like pushed towards the door, right? So it was just like body to body.
Yeah.
And they were like, yo, tell them we're in the NFL. And the bouncer yells back, like, it's the Super Bowl, you idiot. Everyone's in the NFL. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm first, like, I'm just now getting into the league. So I'm like, I'm not getting in here. I look around. There's, like, Carrie Hilson, who was a famous singer. She was in line. Like, Soulja Boy was like trying to push to the front. And I'm like, okay.
And then Andrew Hawkins.
And then again, I'm guessing.
I was on that reality show with the short receivers.
So I walk around the back, right, to like a dumpster. I got like $200 in my hand, in my pocket. Somebody like.
All in fives.
A cook like or like some like janitor or something opens the door to like let some boxes out. And I'm like, yo, how much to get in there? I'm like, I got $100 for you. He doesn't even speak English. He just looks around, takes $100. I go up these steps, and I'm like up on top, like the upper level of this club. Nobody's up there.
Are you serious?
So I'm like, okay, well, my boys, I don't know if they're going to get in or not. I'm just going to wait up here. Everyone's downstairs. Like, I sit up on this couch. I'm at, like, in the middle of this couch.
By yourself.
It's like six. By myself.
The loneliest guy in the club.
Within 15 minutes, Joe, I kid you not, Drake comes in. He sets up shop at the table on the left of me. Uh-huh. Jamie Foxx, Carrie Hilson. Oh, wow. Rapper Slim Thug, they set up on the right. Young Jeezy come. And this whole party migrates. They section off the entire upstairs.
Way.
I'm sitting in the middle of this party. Like, Drake is right. And this is, like, before Drake is, like, super big. But yeah. I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, hugging
dude,
Kentucky players
I'm just
at that
start,
point.
I just start just take, regular guy. Snapping pics, yeah. Right? So after a while, they start to look over like, yo, who the hell is this dude? Right? So I see him looking at me. I take a couple of more selfies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
After like 30 minutes, I'm like, this is crazy. And then the boss looks at me. I'm like, don't worry about it, man. I'm out.
Like, it was worth my $100.
It was the $100, well worth it.
Yeah.
Pictures all over the internet. Yeah.
Did Soulja Boy make it in?
Soulja Boy did not make it into
but
the
But Hawk made it
but
in.
But Hawk was there.
Hawk was there.
Oh, I do with the Soulja Boy.
They probably thought I was Soulja Boy.
That's awesome. Super Bowl parties are fun for me because it's almost – just a game, like being sort of low-level NFL guys like us.
Yeah.
The fun of the party is the game of trying to get in. Right. Because we're not the guys that have our names on the list. We're the guys that don't have the names on the list, but we try to, like, argue our way in.
Yeah.
And then finally,
stack
like
– stack up our resumes yes, to other guys.
Finally, the hardworking nature comes out, and we just pester the bouncer enough, and they're like, all right, fine, get in. I'm sick of looking at you.
Wait, dude. I thought you guys had us on the list for all the parties this week.
No,
yeah,
no,
that's BS. That ain't happening,
get
man.
Get your mind ready. Get your mouthpiece ready.
Get ready to stand outside in -9 degrees.
Yeah, bring a coat.
So my funny story is actually last year. I've got a lot of funny Super Bowl stories like that. Well, first one is quick because we talked about P. Diddy.
Uh-huh.
We were in Arizona, and somehow we got into the club. I don't know how. It's usually my agent and myself and Alex Mack. And somehow we, like, snuck into the club. Like, we made it in. We're like, woohoo, we made it. And we got into, like you said, the upstairs VIP. We we must have, like, snuck around the kitchen enough times, and we made it in there. And there's, like, booze everywhere. It's Ciroc, right? Because that wasn't that Diddy's booze that he made, like, money on?
Yeah.
It was Ciroc, right?
Yep.
And it was Diddy. So there was Ciroc and cigars everywhere in this VIP place.
Uh-huh.
But every bar was protected by a bouncer that said, you're not allowed to drink anything until Diddy shows up at the club. Uh-huh. That was like Diddy's one request. Like, nobody can party until I show up. And I'll show up whenever I want.
Makes sense.
So we ended up spending an hour at this party not able to drink a single thing because Diddy had not yet shown up. And we just kept pestering him, and finally they're like, all right, you guys got to leave. Like, clearly you do not belong up here, and I don't know how you got here, but you got to leave or I'm going to call the cops.
Drinking to you is more important than Diddy.
Absolutely. Like, seeing Diddy was a cool story, but it's way better to get kicked out of Diddy's party because he wouldn't let you drink his booze.
Or not be able to get into Diddy's
or
party.
Or not even be able to get in.
Diddy is like a horrible person at the Super Bowl, it seems like.
And he's trying to buy the Panthers. Right out from underneath us.
Yeah, from underneath
which,
us.
When we see him here this weekend, we're going to tell him about
it. We're going to have all these conversations.
Yeah, we're going to have these hard
I got another Super Bowl story. Very similar. So what happens is, like we said, even me more than you because, we're low-level NFL guys.
Or below. Lower level or
low
below.
Or below level.
We're like the 300-level tickets that nobody wants with the obstructed view.
Exactly.
That is
it's
our
mostly
NFL
mostly because
status.
You're a lineman. The only reason we're like kind of even close in range is because you're like a 10-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he's a lineman.
But you're
that
a whole lineman.
Count. That doesn't really count.
And I have like footwork videos. So people they get excited about me just like they get excited about – so we're equal in that sense. So I was meeting somebody at like the EA Sports party. This is in Indiana.
Which is usually a good party.
Which is a great
party. I've
been
there a few times.
And that's like an easy party for players.
Yeah, because they want players there.
They want you there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a player's card, you come right in.
Yeah, you're in.
So one year I was meeting somebody there about like some marketing opportunity that was that weekend. He's like, hey, just meet me at the EA Sports party. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get there. I show my player's card. And the bouncer accuses me of, like, stealing the card from somebody.
He's like, you can't possibly play in the NFL.
I'm like, bro, that's my card. He's like, nah, man, you ain't getting in.
It doesn't have height on it?
Yeah, like, so we're just, like, sitting, like, I'm sitting there with like, I'm not going to beg because I'm by myself. I didn't like come with, if I was with people, I would have been like gassed up to been like, no, yeah. F that. I'm getting in, mother. Yeah, like, yeah, Google me. But I was like, all right, whatever. So I like sitting
nothing
outside.
Coming up. Sorry, man.
Gary, comedian Gary Owen is at the party.
I love that guy.
He's hilarious.
He's he's funny.
He's, and this is actually,
I've seen
how,
him in Cleveland.
This is actually how we got to know each other. He's coming out. He's from Cincinnati.
Oh.
He's a Bengals fan.
So that should be an in for you.
He comes out of the party. He's walking by with his boys. He's like, yo, ain't you Andrew Hawkins? I'm like, yeah, man. What's up, big fan? He's like, what you doing out here? I'm like, oh, they won't let me in the party. Him and his boys like kind of pause, and then they all just start bust out laughing. Like, ah, you can't get in the party. He takes his like his lanyard off. Like, here you go, man.
That'll get little you guy. This will get you in.
And that's how I got in the party.
Did he sign it for you?
Gary Owen got me in the party. We've been boys ever since.
That's awesome. What a nice guy. Gary Owen, you're invited on the Tomahawk Show whenever you want to come on.
Definitely coming on the Tomahawk Show.
Oh, man, that's funny. So my Super Bowl story, most humiliating, but like I've said before, I don't really get embarrassed.
Yeah.
But so last year, my wife was with me at the Super Bowl. It was in – where was the Super Bowl last year?
Where were we at?
Can anybody remember? Oh, it was in Houston. That's right.
Matter of fact, I think I was with – I think I walked into a party with you last year, and they were giving you some shit about getting in.
Was it ESPN?
It was ESPN.
Oh, that's my story. I never made it in. That's the spoiler alert. All right, so let me tell you the story. Well, let me tell you the story.
Pulling up Joe Hawks.
All right, yeah, so last year – okay. I had just made my 10th Pro Bowl, which, as we've just stated, means nothing when you're a lineman. And for 8 years, I've always gone to the ESPN party because it's usually fun. That's where a lot of the other football players are there. They usually have a good musical act.
Yep. They're not
it's
having
usually
it
a lot of fun. Right. No party this year.
No ESPN
I
party.
Shut it down.
Yes.
So I'll tell you why.
Okay. That's good.
So I bring my wife, and I try to explain to her, like, look, we're actually not on any of these lists. So what we're going to just try to do at all these parties is – we're just going to basically go in and beg. Like, basically, please, will you let me in, right? And you just pester them, and finally they usually let you in. And you just got to be able to, like, handle that. Like, as a wife, usually they're used to, like, you're on the list for dinner, and you go get your reservations, you sit down, or you have a ticket to the show or whatever. But Super Bowl parties don't really work like that. You got to kind of work the angle a little bit, right?
Yep.
Which is what makes it fun to me, because it's sort of an experience that I'm not used to. It's the chase, right? Exactly. So it's a lot of fun. So it was me and my wife and my agent, and we're trying to get into the ESPN party, right? And the thing's like half empty. So it's not like they're at capacity. They had no excuse. But we get to the front, and we ask the lady that's running the door, we're like, hey, where do we go for the VIP tickets? And she's like, oh, go right over there. So we like kind of skip the regular line, and you go over to the VIP where all the athletes and entertainers enter. And so we start talking to the person. They're like, are you on the list? And you always got to act like you're on the list, right? That's the most important
step
thing.
One.
Right? Step one.
Act like you're supposed to be there.
So we're like, yeah. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns. And this is my agent, Peter Schaefer. He's had like Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis, a bunch of like big guys. He's been in the game a long time. So she's like, oh, I'm sorry you guys aren't on the list. And we're like, oh, well, do you think we could just like get in anyway? You know, we're players, been around a long time. There's lots of players in the party. You know, our publicist, which we don't have a publicist, must have forgot to call or something. You know, you got to come up with some BS story. And she's like, I'm sorry, you know, we're under strict instructions this year. We can't let anybody in. And so my wife is instantly like red-faced. She's so embarrassed because she's never done like the Super Bowl party experience before. And I'm like, no, it's all right. It's all right. Like, can we just like wait around? And if there's some room and you just kind of like sneak us in, she's like, really, guys, you're going to have to step out of the way. Like there's people like Andrew Hawkins, like burning past us going into the party. She's like, please get out of the way. Like you're not on the list. You're not getting in. And we're like, no, we really need to go in there. Like, this is really important. Like you're trying to work the angle. And she's like, I'm sorry, guys, you're going to have to step out of the way, or I'm going to have to call security. And we're like, go ahead, call security. Like, what do we care? Like, we're supposed to be in this party. Like, we're athletes. This party is for athletes to come.
This is my
and then
party.
Regular people buy tickets to come party with athletes.
Yeah,
that's how it
me.
Works, right? They party with me. Right? So she's like, guys, this is your last warning. You need to move out of the way. And right when she says that, Tim Tebow, like, burns through the line with, like, a posse of, like, 75 guys. And I'm like, what? You're going to just let him go? And she's like, well, he's Tim Tebow. And I'm like, oh, my God. I've just been humiliated. And at this point, my wife starts yelling at me. She's like, Joe, we're leaving. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, no, it's okay, babe. We'll be fine. And
we're getting
she's
really
like,
close.
We're leaving. And the lady's like, I'm calling security right now. So she calls security. And it's not like – mall cops. Right. It's like actual Houston police officers
right.
that show up. And then now my agent, it's become like a game. Not right? Because yeah. he goes into lawyer mode. Now he wants to argue and fight. So now he starts like arguing with the police officers. And they're like, sir, we are going to arrest you if you do not leave these premises in 2 minutes. And right at that time, Mike Golick walks in. And, you know, from Golick and Wino yeah. now, yep. Mike and Mike. And he's like, wait, ESPN isn't letting you guys in? We're like, yeah, they're going to arrest us. He's like, sorry, guys. And he waves and he goes in. And finally, the police officer like, turn around. We're going to put handcuffs on you. And at that point, my wife's like, Joe, I'm going to divorce you if you don't turn around and leave. And she grabbed my arm. And we ended up leaving the party. And we went to the Barstool Sports Party. And we got right in. And it was like the best party I've ever been to in the Super Bowl. So
just
it was like
that.
The greatest happy ending of all time that ESPN kicked me out. And they let guys like Hawk and Tebow in, which apparently their standards are lower than expected. But this year they had to cancel the party because of the blowback for turning down an offensive lineman at the doors.
The first NFL lineman in history they turned down at the door. No, I remember. I don't remember like that because I obviously broke.
You weren't waiting long enough in line.
Right.
He just did his footwork drill right through the door.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Johnson Batamosa, who actually is playing in the Super Bowl this week,
love Johnson.
He also, I think he might have been in line with you at some point.
I think so. Yeah, he was
because they didn't let him in. But
right.
he got in. He snuck into a back door.
So he got in.
He paid a cook $100.
Yeah,
and like we were in the party, and Johnson was like, "Yo, they didn't let Joe in. How'd you get in?"
Yeah.
Oh, I snuck through the back.
No, that's like exactly what happened. I remember he was waiting with us. So that's the other secret to getting in Super Bowl parties. If you see somebody you know that's probably on the list, you kind of like secretly slink in and link up with them, and then you get in usually. So Johnson figured like, oh, this guy, he made 10 Pro Bowls. He'll get us in for sure. So meanwhile, I'm getting arrested,
I'm
getting
like,
tased. Don't tase me, bro. And Johnson's sneaking in the side door.
I'm like, Johnson, come on, man. Let's go in. No, Hawk, I'm good. I'm going to go with
Joe. I'll go with him. He's way
good
more
luck,
likely
Hawk.
To get in.
That's funny.
Oh, good time. So hopefully AFD, we can show them some of those fun Super Bowl experiences where we get tased and arrested trying
it's
to get into the ESPN
awesome.
Parties.
Can't wait.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of Joe being a 10-time Pro Bowler, there's a good transition to our Tomahawk Q&A session where we take questions from fans on Twitter, hashtag Tomahawk. If you have any questions, send them in. We got one this week from at Pat Murphy 13116. He asked if Joe would trade his 10 Pro Bowls for one Super Bowl?
That is a very interesting question.
That's a good question. So I think that's a multifaceted question.
Because it seems like yes or no.
Well, this is why I'll say that. Is if you give up your 10 Pro Bowls, does that give up all of your
money,
life's accomplishments?
Yeah,
your
like
money?
Because the 10 Pro Bowls earned them X amount of million
like,
a year.
Does that mean I have to trade places with the guy that gets signed the week before the Super Bowl, who's like a practice squad guy who wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I'd say no. You're a starter on the Super
Bowl.
You're
a starter, but you have no personal success. You've traded all of that in for a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
You can have some success. You're a starter on a Super Bowl team.
But I'm saying like you're not a Pro Bowl player. So
right. You're not the best player. Yeah.
You're not like a good player anymore. You're like sort of run-of-the-mill.
I think what we're getting at here is he's not trading his money.
I'm just trying to clarify the question.
Which is, I'll give you my take. Absolutely not. See, there's like this, I don't want to say misconception because everybody's different. Like the trifecta is that you can be a Pro Bowl player, win a Super Bowl, and make a lot of money. But the reality is if you ask 99% of NFL players, would they rather win a Super Bowl or would they rather get paid a big money contract, they're going to say money. Like that's, yes, we all want to win a Super Bowl, but it's like the cherry on top of the fact that we win, make a lot of money. Like most of them want to win a Super Bowl to make a lot of money, if that makes sense.
Typically, like, you could think like, oh, they probably go hand in hand. Because when you're on a Super Bowl winning team, typically your value is inflated. So then when you go to free agency, you can go chase the money.
But that's if you're one of the top, 15 players?
Right.
If you're like a, you know, roster spot number 25 through 50, I can guarantee you, you would trade your Super Bowl. And I'm not even saying for Joe Thomas money. I just mean for a good contract at your position, a solid contract, you would trade your Super Bowl. There's players who have multiple rings from the Patriots that I know would give them both up for a better contract, like to have hit a big contract at some point.
Because that changes your life
that
and your family's
your
life, right? Versus like the second you're done with football, you're, okay, now I got to go back to school and become an intern at Target.
Yeah.
And sitting at a cubicle
exactly.
for the
no
next
offense
40
to my,
years.
My Target
I mean, that may be fun.
But, for some but people, you know, but. I'm just saying from a football perspective, you know, goal number one, goal one is you got to get paid.
Business oriented. I would say on the surface for me, if like you look at my resume and everything is the same except for they just cross out the 10 Pro Bowls and added in Super Bowl champion, I would make that trade. But I think when you look at it like on a deeper level, like Hawk was saying, like you look at everything that goes with personal success and accomplishments in the NFL, like when you're the best at your position or one of the best guys, there's so many other things that come with it. Obviously, it's a business, so the money side of things, the way you set up your family, obviously the potential to be a Hall of Famer, like those are all important goals, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say the ring is more important because I wouldn't know what it's like to win a Super Bowl. I don't even know what it's like being in the playoffs.
I would have less respect for you if you were a Super Bowl champion.
Less respect?
What?
I respect you.
You mean if he traded it or if you just if he like, made the Super Bowl?
If I'm sitting here reading Joe's resume and you subbed out 10-time Pro Bowl, you took the name off the top and it said 10-time Pro Bowler and it said Super Bowl champ, I would have less respect for the Super Bowl.
There's a
champ.
Lot more people in the class of Super Bowl champions.
Exactly.
I mean, there's 53 or really there's 70 or whatever it is.
Right.
The number of people are on a roster, including practice squad, every year that are that become Super Bowl champs, far less people are at the top of their position.
Right.
Pro Bowl, All Pro, Hall of Fame. So I guess it's my final answer is it depends. Are you a practice squad guy who played 1 year in the NFL and won a Super Bowl? Or are you a guy that still had a great career?
A better question would have been, would you trade 5 of your Pro Bowls for a Super Bowl championship?
To me, that's easy. That's a
okay,
yes for sure.
Let's say 7.
See, I feel like
7 Pro Bowls for one Super Bowl.
Yeah, what's the number? That's a great question. I honestly think the number probably starts getting around 9 or 10. Like, because to me, once you become a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro, that's a mark that stays with you forever.
But it's a
that's
luck like thing something, sometimes.
Yeah, but you still
sometimes
have to be really good.
One.
All right, let's say All-Pro. Because
okay,
All-Pro,
pro.
Like, for you the were, most part, nobody says, oh, he got lucky and became an All-Pro. Like,
right.
That is kind of like the cream of the crop, and it's not voted on by biased players and fans.
Or family.
family. You don't have Andrew Hawkins on his computer voting for you a million times.
He's in box.
So the All-Pro is something that stays with you forever, for a lifetime. You're an All-Pro forever. That's who you are no matter what happens the rest of your career or life. But a Pro Bowl, maybe one Pro Bowl, but two Pro Bowls, when you start getting up there, that's saying that you have accomplished a lot in your career. Like, you've put in a lot of work, had a lot of success.
So your perfect mix would be, what, 3 Pro Bowls and a
three
Super Bowl?
Three Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl would be a nice mix.
That was a good way to
some trade-off. I don't know. Maybe that was too long-winded, and I guess I don't have an answer.
Yeah. I would trade my 3 playoff appearances for an extra $300,000 per season.
$300,000 per season?
Yes.
Well, then you wouldn't be doing the Tomahawk Show for $0 with me, so I'm glad you have those playoff appearances and not the money.
There you go. Speaking of Super Bowl, we got to make our predictions. What are we thinking about this game? The Eagles? Can I say this? I don't think the Eagles have a chance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think if you're an Eagles fan.
Can we make a bet on here?
And you're listening, like, don't waste your time watching the Super Bowl. You're going to lose.
And this is why Hawk is 3-7 in his predictions in the playoffs so far this year.
But
I'm not going with that guy.
All of my wins come with what team?
The Patriots.
The Patriots. I don't. There's one thing. There's a couple things that I don't do in life. I don't tell people how to grieve, and I don't bet against the Patriots. Okay, this is like these are some facts of life.
That's different than saying they have no chance. The Eagles.
I mean, I guess we all have a chance. I have a chance of winning a Grammy as long as I'm still alive. But
a Tomahawk Show.
Yeah,
we already won a Grammy. You mean a second Grammy?
I mean a fourth Grammy this year. We got snubbed at the Grammys this year, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah,
I got the
Next
Patriots
year.
Winning. I'm not going to bet.
So what is
Tom
your
Brady.
Score?
My score is 31-24, the New England Patriots.
Wow, that is really close to what I have written down here.
Really?
Oh, you're so lame.
33-24.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
All right.
That's like the lamest
but I'm not
score
saying
ever.
No
that's what everyone picks is like 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Versus.
All right, what do you got, Joe?
I've got
77.
The Eagles 100-0.
150.
All right.
3-0.
I've got the Eagles. I'm going to go 18-12.
Oh, wow.
Defensive battle. I love it.
You think the Patriots are only going to score 12
points. So I'm taking
points.
The under, and I'm taking the Eagles. I think the Eagles' D-line is going to do really well, a la the Giants a few years back when they had Justin Tuck and OCU Minori, and they just tore up Tom Brady because you hit him early and often, you take him out of their game.
But they still barely won those games, and they didn't have.
That's why I said 18-12.
They didn't have
one
Nick
score
Foles
game, baby.
At their quarterback position.
Well, Nick Foles played like Joe Montana last week. I'm going to expect the same thing out of him. I think, honestly, here's an analysis. We don't do a lot of analysis on this show, but yeah. Here's my analysis.
Let me hear it.
The way Nick Foles runs the RPO, the way he gives him that option with the zone read, mm-hmm. has always given the Patriots trouble because they have to sort of get outside of what they like to do a little bit.
Yeah.
It sort of forces them to pressure, and they're more of just like to play man coverage and be really fundamentally sound.
It's hard to bet against the Patriots when they have 2 weeks to prepare for something, though.
I agree. But I still like the Eagles.
Right. Who do you guys have as Super Bowl MVP? That'll be the tiebreaker for our overall picks if we tie.
Okay.
MVP. I have, obviously, since I have the Patriots winning, I'm going to go with – who won the
– He's thought a lot about this, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Did Tom win last year?
He did.
Tom, he doesn't win every once in a while. He gets like an
They like obscure. Giving him to other people every
yeah,
now and
every
then.
Now and again. So I'm going to go with a former Brown, Deion Lewis, Super Bowl MVP.
Oh.
Boom.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Fletcher Cox. I think he's going to have 2.5 sacks and going to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Fletcher Cox, Deion Lewis. You know what would be a good topic for next show? Top 3 Browns that you would sign back to Cleveland.
Ooh, I like that.
That'll be the next one.
That's a good one.
Joe's just going to pick his O-line buddies again.
Yeah.
Alex Mack, Mitchell Schwartz.
We're back. We're getting the old band back together.
Yes, yes.
And by the way, I've got Brandon Cooks.
Cooks? You got Cookie? Yeah. I like it. That's a good pick.
I figured you were just going to go with Tom Brady, so I wanted to go different.
Yeah, no, I'm not going with Tom, man. Tom will play well, but I think Deion Lewis is going to – I think he's going to pull it out. All right, well, I guess that does it for this episode of Tomahawk. You know, thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to be at Radio Row. We're going to have a bunch of video content, so make sure you check it out on uninterrupted.com. Joe, final thoughts?
My final thoughts is taking the circus on the road is going to be my life's work, and I would trade that for 10 Pro Bowls any day. So this is going to be a lot of fun this week. I looked at our guest list, and that looks like a Pro Bowl roster of not only football players but entertainers. There's a couple guys on there I'm pretty excited to talk to that I was big fans of their music growing up. I'll just leave it there.
You are a living, amazing take. That should be your nickname, Amazing Take. Dan, take us out like we always do, bro.
Joe, Hawk, yourself.
There it is, baby.
Dramatic.
Yeah, I love it.